जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोस्थित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः. We are studying the teachings of Swami Brahmanandaji. As I mentioned before, the word eternal companion has two meanings. One is Swami Brahmanandaji was the eternal companion. Second was he and his life and his teachings are eternal companion to us until we reach the goal. This is a most common question. How does devotion to God grow? Maharaj replied, keep the company of the holy, listen to their teachings and mold your life after their pattern. But without continence and the practice of meditation, you cannot grasp the spirit of the enlightened ones, nor can you understand the scriptures. Read the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna and meditate on its teachings. The more you meditate on God, the better will be your understanding of holy books. To hear about the knowledge of God is one thing, to live in God is another. But the knowledge acquired through realization is different from both. If you have the craving for fleshly enjoyments or the slightest desire for name and fame, you cannot reach God. As Nag Mahashaya used to say, it is like trying to row an anchored boat. He also used to say, it is easy to get name and fame, but holy is he who can renounce them. Blessed is he who finds association with an enlightened soul. Vain is this life if one doesn't struggle to realize God. A few very important points are here. The first is, satsanga means keep always holy company. But important point here is, mold your life after their pattern. We can read books, but if we do not mold our life after, then transformation will not come. That is very important. Read the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna and meditate on its teachings. It is a very valuable advice. Not only read, what did he say? Meditate on its teaching. This meditation on the teachings of Sri Ramakrishna serves three purposes according to my understanding. One purpose is, you see, time passes very nicely. We have sometimes, many times we have a lot of time and we don't read. We read or spend in reading something else. Better to read. Even if we are reading for the sake of reading, time passes nicely. So the second result it gives is the teachings, the life and teachings of Sri Ramakrishna are not merely a book. It is Sri Ramakrishna himself. Bhagavata, Bhakta, Bhagavan. You know, I think all of you know what I am referring to. Sri Ramakrishna had a vision. Once he was sitting in the temple of Krishna, Radha Krishna, Vishnu, it is called Vishnuvar, at Dakshineswar. He was sitting in the evening and a Bhagavata Pandit was reading Bhagavata. Krishna Bhagavan, here is Bhagavata Pandit and here is Sri Ramakrishna. So a ray of light came from the lotus feet of Krishna, touched the Bhagavata. Not the Bhagavata Pandit. Touched the Bhagavatam, came and touched Sri Ramakrishna's heart and went back, trying. From that day, Sri Ramakrishna's daily chanting, this is added, Bhagavata, Bhakta, Bhagavan. That means wherever there is Bhagavatam, there is Bhagavan and there is also Bhakta. Where there is one, all the three are there. That's why the Sikhs, they worship only The Guru Granth Sahib, they call it. Sahib means like Sri. Guru Granth, that itself is God. So that is the second purpose. You feel the presence of God. The third purpose is you get guidance from the teachings of Sri Ramakrishna. What shall I do? There is a fourth purpose which some people, I think, you can say either use or misuse. That is, whenever they are in a dilemma, they pray to Sri Ramakrishna and open the gospel,
right,
hoping that he will give a solution. Shall I apply to this job or not? But there is no specific mention of you accept this job. But they interpret in this way. So he says, Ramakrishna is telling, you come tomorrow. Yes, he says, apply for the job. Yeah. Otherwise he says, no, don't come tomorrow. Okay, don't apply. In faith. Bible also is used in the same way. Yeah. I'm just mentioning. But three definite purposes. What does that mean for us? That whether you want it or not, if you have a gospel, God is with you.
Yes.
And if you read, you are only sitting in front of Sri Ramakrishna.
Yes.
So the purpose of Leela Dhyana is served beautifully by the gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. Why? Because, you know, you can read the book, close your eyes, and you can imagine you are one of them sitting there and he is talking to you. In fact, he will be talking only to devotees. Many times you will see that maybe he answered your questions. Anyway, satsanga is the presence of God as well as the teachings. But we have to, he says, not only read but meditate. That's a wonderful meditation. Take it up. You do a little japa. After that, you allot 5-10 minutes. Whatever you have read, now what did I read? This also serves another purpose.
Retention.
Memory. Yeah, the connection will come. Memory. Very nice.
Maharaj.
Yeah.
Maharaj, the Bhagavata, Bhakta and Bhagavan, can that be an analogy to the knower, knowledge and the known are the same?
Yes, you can say that. It is absolutely same. Yeah. But here we are taking in a devotional way. Take it in. And this meditation is far easier than trying to meditate on some imaginary, non-existent thing. You know, our imagination goes into non-existence, you know. Then he says, if you have any desire for enjoyments, desire for name and fame, you cannot reach God. But Maharaj is not telling you don't progress in spiritual life. God realization is possible only one. You know, it is like this. Here is truth and here is untruth. So you say, I want both truth and untruth. That is not possible. I want real and unreal. That's not possible. But one can progress in spiritual life slowly. Otherwise, it is impossible to feel. There will come a time when I will be totally free from all these cravings and then I will start my sadhana. Such a thing doesn't exist. You reduce a little your craving, then you are progressing a little. Then you reduce a little more, then your love for God grows a little more, maybe for 1 minute. And then you remember something else. And slowly increase that period. That is how we have to progress. But what we do is, here also, our imagination runs riot. Because we are all accustomed to seeing cinemas. Cinemas, you know, only most beautiful ladies, most beautiful men, and most horrendous villains also. That part we forget. Yeah, it's very important to remember all these things. Have to go slowly, slowly. Shanehi, shanehi, uparamet, buddhya, dhriti, grihitaya, atma samstham, manakritva, nakinchida, pichintai. Ekada? Bhagavad Gita. Beautiful teaching. I think it is in the 6th chapter. whenever the mind strays from the object of meditation, shanaihi, shanaihi, means slowly, slowly, catch the monkey. That is the idea. So, Nag Mahashaya's one teaching is there. So, if you do not give up the name and fame and cravings for enjoyment, but you cannot give them up all of a sudden. What is the, there is a prior stage to it. That stage is, I do sankalpa, I would like to give up. There is a difference between these two. Before doing puja, if you have noticed, we have to do sankalpa.
Yes.
What for am I performing this puja? And you see, bhakti jnanodayaya ayam arambha shubhaya bhavatu hari om. Bhakti jnana udayaya. I am doing it. And there also, there is a beautiful, Sanskrit is so beautiful, you know. There is a verbal trick. There is two forms, Atmanepadi and Parasmaipadi. Karishye and Karishyami. If I am doing for my own benefit, Karishye. If I am doing for everybody's sake, Karishyami. What beautiful one, no? For all the devotees, whoever is attending and who cannot attend but would like to attend. For all, for the blessings of all this, I am doing puja. So here also, the sankalpa is very important. I would like to progress in spiritual life. Oh Lord, I would like to come to you. I would like to have devotion. There you cannot cheat God. So you can't say, I will, if it comes, that is fine. If it doesn't come, okay, it's okay. It will come in course of time. No, I want it. But it doesn't mean immediately it will come. It is slowly, slowly, slowly. That's why Sri Ramakrishna's story illustrates this. Which is story? Two yogis sitting under a tree and meditating. Then Narada passes that way. You know this story? Narada was going that way. Then the yogis knew Narada is going to Vaikuntha. Then they asked him, Narada, we have a request. When you go to Narayana, then you ask him our request. That when is he going to show himself to us? So Narada said yes. And he went, he came back. The first yogi was sitting under a tree and the other yogi was sitting under another tree. You know why? Because they can't stand each other. So they can't stand each other. Funny things happen, you know. Two friends, sadhus, they live under two different trees, near side by side. And they get bored staying under the same tree. So after 2 months you say, let us change our residences. Then they change the trees. After 2 months, let us change our residences. Mind's restlessness. Yeah, we also had a Swami like that. So there is a room. So the bed is put like that. And then after 6 months, this doesn't look nice. So change it. So they will put, instead of this, they will put this. Bah, very nice. It very is nice. Very nice. This is beautiful. After this, doesn't look like this. So they change it. This way. Three sides. Every few months. And you should see the joy he gets on the day it is changed. But after 3 times, again, go back. See, change. We want change. It is the same thing. Boiled potato, fried potato, roasted potato, baked potato, potato in this. We want change. So, the story. Narada came and then the first yogi asked, when is God going to show himself to me? And Narada said, God said that you will have to be born one more time. Oh, since so many years I have been doing tapasya, I have to be reborn again. Oh, what a horrible thing. He started weeping. Then Narada said, this is what God said. He moved on to the next tree. Then that yogi was eager, asked, what did God say? He said, you know, you are sitting under a tamarind tree. He was sitting. You know how many leaves are there? So many times you will have to be born before God comes. He said, what? So quickly. He started dancing with joy. And immediately God appeared and said, I am so pleased with you. Now what is the symbolism, significance of this story? Because these are called parables.
When you love God so much, you can just enjoy that love that you don't.
You know, for the first yogi or devotee, it is a meditation and thinking of God is a painful duty. Yeah. How quickly we can get over. What is he going to do after realizing God? If thinking of God for 4 hours is a pain in the neck, but sitting there, if you go to Ramakrishna Loka, 24 hours, there is no sunrise, sunset. 24 hours, wherever you see is Ramakrishna. You will go mad and you can't commit suicide. What is this? Okay. So Nag Mahashaya used to say beautiful, you know, sayings. He was a great soul, telling, you know, without reducing these desires, it is doing sankalpa. It is like rowing an anchored boat. Anchored or unanchored boat? Anchored boat. Anchored boat. Anchored boat. Peculiar English language, you know, it takes time to get over it. Draw the curtains. Yeah. Shukdevda used to tell you to draw the curtains like that. So, this is four drunkards got into a boat after drinking nicely in the early night. They wanted to have a boating trip. Whole night they rowed and rowed and rowed until early morning. And slowly light was coming. They found they were exactly in the same place. And by that time, the intoxication was also coming down. Then they investigated why we have not moved. And then they found out they have not on what is called untied the boat. So having desires and not thinking of getting rid of them and trying to progress in spiritual life is like that. So it is not to be taken 100% you remove, then you will row the boat. You row the boat a little and you get rid of your desire a little. Like that, many, many, bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate vasudevaha sarvamiti samahatma. After so many births, a man becomes gnani in way. And then what does he realize? Vasudevaha sarvamiti. The Lord Krishna is everything. And then he becomes blessed. Maharaj, there are some who believe that merely keeping company with the holy is enough. One need do no more. Maharaj, no, merely to keep the company of the holy is not enough. You must open your heart and ask them to solve your doubts. You must carefully observe their lives and imitate their example. It is a lazy man's attitude to think that all one need to do is associate with the holy. Needless to say, association is also very important. For in their company, doubts are removed and pure thoughts are awakened. See, we are having this satsanga. At least for a short time, the mind is thinking, at least half thinking or one quarter thinking about pure thoughts. That is because, you know, we did not become experts in withdrawing our mind, fortunately. So, whenever I am talking, you are forced to be distracted by my thoughts, whether you want it or not. Yeah. So something is going inside. But when you become totally okay, I do not need to listen to the Swami. Or Swami Harshanandji, sometimes he can be very humorous. Yeah. So he acquired new this hearing aids.
Oh.
And he, that day his face lit up in joy. We asked, Maharaj, why you are so happy? He said, now you know, there is a switch here. Whenever whenever I go, he was frequently invited to go and give speeches. Usually he would be made the president. Then, you see, sometimes the introducers give longer speeches.
Oh, yes.
We remember our,
oh,
our experience in Ponnambet.
45 minutes.
She gave introduction about me.
And you were there. 15 talks or 20 minutes?
15? My speech is only for 15 to 20 minutes. Anyway, so he said that whenever I know that this person is going to introduce me, I switch it off and go on blissfully thinking about it. And now and then look at it. I know when he has finished and looking at me. Then I switch it off and go on and then give this speech. See, it is what is called Ashtasiddhi. The ability, you know, to switch out your mind. Digitally do that. So, pure thoughts would come. These are all pure thoughts we are. And then one thing that I have noticed, you know, whatever we read, however indifferent, they remain in the mind. Sometime later, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, they will come to the fore. You may not remember, where did I read, but they will come at that time. Yeah, I have noticed this many times. When I am thinking something, suddenly a brilliant creative idea comes. I thought, oh, my brain is working. So new ideas are coming. And I am so happy. I don't tell to people. I am very happy. Some new thing. Then I go back and flick through some old book and the ideas are there. So I read about them long back and I have forgotten. So they will come. It doesn't matter. It's very, very good. No scripture or books can create such pure impressions or transform a man's life as much as contact with an enlightened soul. This is absolute truth. A living person cannot, there is no substitute for a living person. Even if we be an ordinary man, it doesn't matter. Something magic takes place. You read a book, it gives one type of impression. You go and listen to somebody, then it gives a totally different impression. That's why we must have. Question. Maharaj, Ramakrishna had said that solitude is an aid to spiritual growth. I don't know what the questioner was expecting. Yes, that is true. But you should retire into solitude only when you have attained some growth in the spiritual life. To retire from human society before one is ready is unwise. In this world of time, space and causation, it is impossible to find true solitude. True solitude lies beyond the mind and intellect. It is identical with the most tranquil. Therefore, it is better for a beginner to live in the company of holy men. This is a very important point. What is solitude? First, Ramakrishna's definition of solitude.
Nirjanasthan.
Nirjanasthan, that word is very important. A place where there are no people, that is the superficial meaning. Means a place where it is calm and quiet. So Nirjana is very, what is Nirjana? There are no people, there are no people. That is, it helps. Definitely it is a help. And in that sense, West is most wonderful. It is, you know, you don't hear all these horrible noises outside. Mm. So calm and quiet, and people don't get gate crash.
Yeah.
In India, gate crashing, they take it as a normal behavior. Yeah. So when there are no people, that's fine. But suppose you carry a smartphone and you are a member of Twitter, Facebook, WhatsApp application and all those things. What are you doing? Is it Nirjanasthan? It is a disturbing place. What Sri Ramakrishna really means by Nirjanasthan? Sri Ramakrishna means we cannot depend upon anybody. Nobody in this world can do anything for us. Even if they wish to do, they cannot do. Your father, your mother, they cannot eat for you, they can't sleep for you, they can't worry for you. Nobody can do anything. Only God can help us. Have you ever seen anybody saving anybody? Unless God comes and saves, it is not possible. That is the true meaning of Nirjana, means don't depend upon anybody. That means no husband, no wife, no parents, no children, nothing. Only God. Okay. Same. Swami Brahmananji goes much further and says, in this world of time, space and causation, it is impossible to find true solitude. Then what is it? True solitude lies beyond the mind and intellect. Simplest way of trying to understand is, when what happens when you are in Sushupti state? That is true solitude. You are alone. This is what, I think, what is it, Walt Whitman or somebody who said, flight of the alone to the alone. Flight of the alone to the alone. Yeah. Therefore, it is better for a beginner to live in the company of holy. Then there are dangers. First, Mara says, you know, unless there is some growth, what happens is people can go mad. So Swamiji used to say, if anybody adopts solitude because it is nice and has not grown enough, if 100 such people go to such place, usually about 95 people, they become hypocritical. Hypocritical means they fill up their time with unspiritual things, going for a walk and then looking, staring at the sun. Looking at a flower, how beautiful is that? Hypocrites. Four people, they go mad because they can't stand that solitude. Maybe one person may truly get enlightenment. This is what Swami Vivekananda had remarked. Solitude, you see, is very dangerous when we are not up to that solitude. Even here, we don't practice solitude. Where is true solitude? Is it external or internal?
Internal.
To feel that I am alone in this world is the first step in solitude. Not to be disturbed by any circumstances is a true solitude. I remember an incident from Swami Sharadananda's life. Swami Sharadananji in Udbodhan, he used to live in a small room near the entrance. He used to write all his general secretary work, Sri Ramakrishna, the great master, and Holy Mother's life, and so many things. So one day, some young monks were loudly laughing nearby. And Golapma, you know, with a huge voice. Oh, she said, hey, you fellows, don't disturb. Sharat is doing some important work. Sharat Maharaj heard it. She said, Golapma, don't prevent them from laughing. Because whenever I see young monks laughing joyfully, that means they are safe. Yeah, that means they are happy.
Yes.
And when they are happy, that means they are doing their japa, dhyana, very happy with their life. It's invariably, somebody is not happy, then even monastic members can go into depression There are varieties of reasons why a person chooses a monastic life, a hermit's life. Spirituality is only one of the reasons. The other reason is some people hate humanity. There is some word, no? That haters of men.
Misanthropes.
Yes, that is the word. Misanthropes. Hater. They don't like. They can't tolerate anybody. To can't bear. So the only way is they like to stay separate. I've seen so many people like that. Oh, yeah, it looks as though what a great person. He's not great. He can't tolerate another human being. Okay, this is one reason. Some other, there is a second reason. The second reason is that people have some desires. You know, men have desires, women have desires. But they are not ready to fulfill their desires. They don't want to get married. Why? Because children will come. They have to live with their wives and other things. They prefer to have freedom rather than... So even though they suffer from desires, but this is infinitely more preferable than anything else. Quite a number of them are like that. There is a third reason, ulterior motive. In India this works. That is, this is the surest way of a lazy man's life to get regular food without doing much work. And if you go to Rishikesh and Uttarkashi and all those places, what do you think is happening? People get, you know, annachatras are there. They get regular food. They are quite happy with what they get. Nowadays they are more happy because every the other day there is bhandara. Feast. Feast means first class food, you know, sweets and etc. There are many chatras are there. Morning they can go and have roti and dal, sabji. Another place they can go and have rice and Punjabi chatras, very, what is called, generous people. So this is definitely another reason. And there is another reason also why people adopt. It's a very bad reason. They're criminals. They murdered somebody. The only way to escape is shave the head and shambho. There is nobody can recognize them because all shaven heads appear the same. It is only few people that really, genuinely crave for a monastic life. Only a small few. So monastic life is a solid life of solitude. This is the truth. So, unless we grow to be able to utilize that solitude, it is not good. Because that means we are stunting our own growth willfully. This is true of all fields of life. You don't admit a child because the father is the chairman of the school into a higher class. It is like that. So, all these reasons. But what Maharaj says, true solitude is where you are alone with your true self. That is both beyond the mind and intellect. But to attain to that state, some amount of solitude should come. So Sharat Maharaj was very happy. Let them laugh. Then he made a remark. I instructed my mind. You hear everything, you see everything, but you will not get disturbed. So even if they laugh, he is not deviated from what he was doing, writing or anything. We are disturbed. He is not disturbed. So let them go on laughing. It's a very remarkable thing. Yeah. Okay?
When you hear or when you see something and just processing it, then your mind is actually, that thought is there. When you hear it, you're turning your mind to your ear and eyes. Isn't that already a distraction, Maharaj? Or is it just...
There are people who can witness them without getting disturbed, who can focus. You know, suppose a writer is writing. He's not deaf. He can hear the cars moving. He hears the birds singing, but he's not disturbed. You are also not disturbed, isn't it? But you instructed your mind, when people talk about, then you are disturbed. You know, most often, I am not telling about you, about all of us. This, are they talking about me? Very often, we our attention is what they are talking by chance, by mistake about me.
Mm-hmm.
And if they talk something good about us, we are internally very happy. And we even protest, no, it is all God's talk. All these things. But internally we are very happy. Yeah. But if they let them talk ill of us, but there's 14 generations of them we have consigned to the other place. We are slaves. We want to be disturbed. You see the point? Did you catch it? Buses are moving. Other noises
are there.
You're
not affected by those thoughts. You're still on your track of concentration.
You see, even now, right now, just keep quiet. How many types of sounds you can hear? See? Going on.
Yeah.
So this is a very interesting experiment, you know.
Yeah.
Are you hearing something?
Yeah.
The AC sound.
Okay. When I said, do you hear anything, and we all kept quiet, for that split second, your mind is totally focused. Have you noticed?
Yeah.
So, that is the way, you know, if you say, just concentrate your mind, you won't. But when I said, how many sounds you hear, your mind is concentrated.
Yeah.
So that is how we train our mind. So many people, they have trained their mind. We will go on doing it. But nowadays, young people are experts in this. Background music, dum-dum is going. And they are reading, they are taking notes, they are doing so. I fail to understand how they could do it. They must be great yogis. Yeah, have you not noticed?
Yes. Well, doesn't that reduce the productivity of work?
You see, the thing is, they are accustomed. They don't even take notice of it. Do you know when they take notice?
When it stops playing,
yes. Then they take notice. Something wrong. What has happened? Yeah. Even we also sometimes, when you are accustomed to some noise, constant noise, and then suddenly it stops, what is wrong? Is there some? Everything is very quiet. What is wrong? Anyway, what is the point? We already trained our minds with regard to certain sounds, that they will not disturb us.
Right.
With regard to certain sounds, we deliberately want to be disturbed, especially talks of other people, etc. We can train. This is what Shatamara is telling. I hear, but I don't pay attention to it. Yeah, he heard, and then he was carrying on with his this thing.
When Turiyanandaji used to say that when he sits for meditation, you say, tell your mind, no soliciting. So is that same as pratyahara?
Yes, in a way, that is the beginning, sankalpa.
Mm.
This is called sankalpa. You say, no admission for thoughts. So he was a very practical man. So I add to this, you know, no admission. But our trouble is, what we don't want admission, only will come. Yeah. That is why we have to add an addenda. What is the addenda? I will deal with you after I finish my puja or anything. I will come back to you. And then we have to be careful not to be troubled by it. Napoleon, Mahatma Gandhi, they had this ability. When they receive some information, they can just keep it there to be retrieved at a later time when they choose. Extraordinary ability and memory. Napoleon could recognize, remember how many pins are in this stock. That strategist, you know, military strategist. and where everybody, like chess playing, where things are, where to change. That's why he was so successful at the beginning. Later on, of course, he failed because of some accident. Noble man, you know, in that respect. Okay. The other day, you said that impatience was of no avail, that we should be content to work and wait. Does that mean that we must not yearn to realize God immediately? This is where Maharaj says, so you should not mix. I must have said it in another connection. Yes, you must yearn to realize Him, but do not be carried away by temporary emotions, nor give expression to them. Our problem is temporary emotions. Emotions are always temporary, by definition. You know why? When emotion becomes permanent, it is no more an emotion. It is just nature. Only when sudden surging of the, you know, electricity, that is called emotion, electronic motion. Yeah. We are all affected by it, more or less. Some people more, some people less. Some people more. Then they have to know how to control it. Otherwise, it will be detrimental to us. Yeah. Emotion can be help, emotion also can be a drag. So we should know, if you can control it, it's very good. Be emotional. The man of true devotion yearns for God without becoming impatient. Even if he sees no light, he will not give up his devotions. Only those who love God like shopkeepers looking for profit will give up if their prayers are not answered immediately. Maharaj, how does one attain peace? Peace dwells in the heart of one who loves God. Realize that your life without Him is barren. Yearn for Him and peace will follow. When a man finds no peace in the world, dispassion grows within him and he is drawn to God. The more a man realizes that the world is barren, the more intense becomes his devotion to God. And the greater is his peace, the greater the thirst, the sweeter the water. First create the thirst and then you will find peace in God. Without love of God, real peace will not come. Then the point we have to understand, what do you mean by God? The more I want God, the more peaceless I become. What does that mean? Another name for God is?
Peace.
You see, if I want peace, then I must realize peace. That is it, as simple as that. I want to become peaceful. Is it possible? Yes. Do sankalpa. Understand what it is. I want to be restful, not restless. What is the problem? Problem is, you know what is the problem? We want to have peace being restless. I would like to be as much restless as I want and be absolutely at peace. Yeah, there was this husband and they had a son. The couple had a son. And one day he was boasting after about 5-6 months after the child was born. You know, our son got all his brilliance from me. The wife said, that explains. You know, he got all his... Now why I don't see any intellect in you? That explains why you are behaving so idiotically ever since he is born. How can love grow? By prayer, meditation and the practice of spiritual disciplines. Can a man realize God by living in the world? Is there anyone outside the world? Very beautiful, this thing, you know. Can anyone be outside the world? So, what is outside the world? What is being outside the world? If Vedanta explanation is accepted, that the world is nothing but another name for God. So So can anybody be outside God?
No.
Outside God is non-existence. There is, don't again say, where is this non-existence? These are all philosophical questions. Non-existence means simply doesn't exist. But why do we use that non-existent, the word non-existent? Do you know why we use? Because in this world, seeing visible and invisible is mistaken as existence and non-existence. You see a human body, okay, he is existent, and then he dies. It means body goes. Now I don't see the man. So he is non-existent. This is our idea. True non-existence doesn't exist. If it exists, it is not. It is not non-existence.
Yeah, exactly.
So this world is nothing but God. If it is God, can is there anybody outside the world?
No.
All of us are in God only. We are only saying we are in the world. But the devotee is telling, no, Maharaj. What I mean is this, can a man realize God if he lives the life of a householder? Yes, he can also realize God, but he has a greater struggle. This is the truth. Greater struggle. One, a man who is not married, he is free from certain extra difficulties. A man who is married, he has responsibilities. He has to think about his wife, his children, and so many social obligations and all those things. That's why Holy Mother said, an unmarried person, 50% free. Is it possible to realize God without a guru? It is, but it's not so easy without a guru.
Yes.
It is. We often cite the example of Ramana Maharshi and Sri Ramakrishna. There was a time when Sri Ramakrishna didn't have any gurus. His own intense yearning was the only guru. And the Divine Mother provided everything for him. But later on, he practiced all the disciplines with the help of the guru and scripture, again for our sake. So it is, you know, the analogy that is given? There is a huge mountain peak. So there is a man, and first he didn't follow any of the beaten tracks. He discovered his own and struggled and reached the peak. Then he came down. Then he said, okay, now let me follow the beaten tracks and follow. Why? Because he cannot be a guide for others through the unbeaten tracks. So she went through all the beaten tracks and then came down and said, now wherever a person is, the guide is ready to take him there. The guru is one who shows the path to God through a mantra. He gives the secret of spiritual practices. He watches over his disciples and protects. A guru must be a knower of Brahma. Is an interesting statement. A guru must be a knower of Brahman. How many gurus do we get who are knowers of Brahman? Not only we don't get knowers of Brahman, we don't even get knowers of Brahman. I'm serious. Do you follow what I'm saying? See, if a man knows this is Maya correctly, then he would be longing to get out.
Yes.
How many of us have realized this world is Maya? We have not realized. Even if you get a guru who realizes that much, he will be filled with vairagya and longing. What was your question?
Maharaj, but this guru that Maharaj is talking about is the Sadguru, Jagat Guru aspect.
Well, he is telling the ideal guru. So, if anybody wants God realization, an ordinary guru cannot give God realization. Only a person who realizes God. But there was a Sufi book, Journey I think the journey in love, something like that. So this beautiful teaching I have read, that a man comes and says, it is said that accepting a Brahmagnani, one cannot be a guru. Then the answer given, forget about a Brahmagnani. He said, if anybody can guide you 10 steps forward, then you take help of that person for 10 steps. When you have reached 10 steps, God will send another man who knows another 10 steps. In course of time you will reach. Otherwise it will be like a 4-year-old child in the nursery school. I would not learn maths unless Einstein himself comes and teaches me. So we can get, this one concept. Another concept is, anybody can be a guru. Upaguru. Avadhuta learned from 24. We can also learn. We open your eyes. From here itself, not 24, how many of us are here? From each one of us, we can learn one lesson. This is the truth.
Is it proper to ask a guru if they know Brahman?
You can ask, there is no doubt. Okay. But the thing is, it is not rational to ask a guru that whether you know Brahman or not. It is like this, again I told you, a child has to learn multiplication. So he says, no, do you know abstract algebra. You understand? What is the point in it? Are you ready? Only when you are ready. Then you go and ask, then are you ready? But by the time you will find somebody who knows, who can teach you. And because we are reading all these books, you know. In fact, I tell you something very interesting. It's a secret. Even if you get a bad guru, he will take you far into towards God than even a sad guru. Ardhvainda? Sadguru, how do you write in English? S-A-D-G-U-R-U.
Sad guru.
You see the point?
Yes.
There are disciples who have gone through a bad patch. Because the guru, but once the, it is also God's will, oh, I have to be very careful about it. There is a problem. Why does this man go through that patch? The law of
karma.
He has to learn his lesson. The next time, he will examine himself. There is a beautiful saying in Hindi. Guru mile lakh lakh, chela na mile ek. Gurus are got by the basket foot. But true disciple is very rare. Same thing in English. Many are called, but few are chosen. We are not focusing upon it. If what I need, I will get. That's enough. Maharaj, what is the proof of God's existence? Some people ask, what is the proof of God's existence? Do we ask such a question? What is the proof of God's existence? I'm asking you.
Yes. Universe.
How many of us we ask? So does that mean that we have absolute 100% conviction that God exists?
No.
You know, we may not ask the question. But doubts come all the time. Does God listen to our prayer? And why is He not answering? This is the doubt which comes. That means, I am not sure God exists or not.
Yes.
But we are not prepared to admit, lest He may get angry. Yeah. You know, we are, on the other hand, frightened of that. You know, especially Mother Kali. Does Mother Kali really exist? I am frightened to ask because suppose she exists. It is better not to invite any danger. We are like that. About Rama, Krishna, other things, we think that they are innocent fellows, they won't do anything. Even if you criticize them, they won't respond. But Mother Kali is not like that. Very often what happens, this kind of doubt comes and then the fellows, next day, he slips and falls down. Immediately, oh, why did it happen? Oh, I had this doubt about Mother Kali. She is taking it out on me. This poor lady probably never knows why. Human, you know. Maharaj's reply is, the seer says, I have seen him. You also can see him. That's why Sri Ramakrishna said, I have seen him, but I can also show God to you. How can Sri Ramakrishna show God to you? He will take you and say, there is God. Will you believe? You will not believe. You will never believe.
Maharaj, but if he gives the divine eyes, the knowledge...
The meaning is, we have to experience God ourselves. That is called seeing. That is why the word seeing in ordinary language has one meaning. Atma va are drashtavyaha, shrotavyaha, mantavyaha, nididhyasitavyaha. God has to be seen. Okay. God, do you see God? When you see God, whatever you see is not God, according to Vedanta. If you see God, that is certainly not God. Yeah. But that is terrible for a devotee. Yeah, especially this Bhaktivedanta Swami. You tell that, you know. That book is very big. He will take it to break my head. Books can be used for many purposes, you know. Do you see what is the point? It is to know I am God. The only way to be 100% sure that God exists is to know I am God. But if you want reason, we have already gone through Chandogya Upanishad. What is it? Instead of saying, does existence exist? You see, I am existent. Otherwise, how can I ask this question? Since I exist, I cannot doubt existence. That is the absolute proof. But we do not mean by existence the secondary existence, Daemon field, pure existence, unmanifest existence. That is the idea. Sometimes as I continue practice in Japam, my mind becomes blank. What causes that, Maharaj? I don't know what the questioner's mind, what it could mean, that have I entered into a higher state? I have heard so many people telling this. Maharaj, that is one of the obstacles in the way to spiritual growth. Meditation must be practiced along with the practice of Japam. Meditation becomes a continuous flow of thought towards God. When meditation ripens, there comes absorption and samadhi is experienced. The joy that is realized in samadhi remains forever. So, this is a very important concept. We have to accept this. What is it? The mind becomes blank. What causes blankness? Tamas. Tamas. That's very dangerous thing. Why do you call it danger? Because what is japam? That repeating God's name with consciousness. And you have become unconsciously. That means you have fallen from the purpose of japam is not to repeat God's name. The purpose of japam is to be conscious. The God's name is an avalamba, is a support. How I can be conscious of myself? This is God's name, this is God's name, I am aware. There is only purpose. And when it grows continuous, then constantly my awareness is becoming more expansive. That is the real purpose. Blankness is its opposite. And that is very dangerous, very dangerous. here comes, but Maharaj, no, meditate upon him in the center of the lotus in your heart. But Maharaj, the heart is made of flesh and blood. How can one think of God then? By heart, I do not mean the anatomical heart. Think of the spiritual center situated near the heart. In the beginning, as you think of God within the body, you will think of your flesh and blood. But soon you will forget the body, and there will only remain the blissful form of the chosen ideal. So there is a heart. Where is that heart? In the heart. Where is that heart? Near the physical heart. No, that heart is pure consciousness. That heart is pure consciousness. That pure consciousness, where is pure consciousness? Yes, you know, funny? Pure consciousness is near the heart. Is it there in the tip of the, at the toe of my right foot? No, it is not there. Listen carefully. No, it is not there. How do you know it is not there? Do you follow what I am telling? Unless you are conscious about that place, even to say no, you have to be conscious, isn't it? Where is not spiritual consciousness? In fact, the word spiritual consciousness is called repetitive. So consciousness is always spiritual, nothing. So, the spiritual heart is everywhere. Spiritual heart is consciousness. So, therefore, it is everywhere. If it is everywhere, then what is the meaning of saying it is near here? Because we, in the beginning, are associating every feeling here. So, feel here. Then, afterwards, it will be everywhere. This is the idea.
Because we need to concentrate, have ekagrata, that's why we fix a point.
Yeah.
That is the reason, and that point, because we are emotional beings and we feel.
Yeah. This answer is given in the Upanishads. One of the questions that is raised is, where is the Lord in the heart?
Yeah.
And what is his size? Angushta matra.
Uh-huh.
You know, like a size of a thumb. Then the Puro Pakshi. Pakshi.
Bird.
Purva Pakshi means your opponent. That's why he said, not Pakshi. He who takes a Paksha is a Pakshi.
Yeah.
So he comes up with, God, Atman is everywhere. Then why do you say that he is of this size and here? The answer given is, for the purpose of contemplation, he is to be imagined in a particular place, because you always feel you are in a particular place. Where are you now? I am in this corner. You don't feel I am everywhere. Is it not? That's why we have to feel in a particular place. Later on when we grow, this is called spiritual growth, then consciousness is God is everywhere. But until that time, don't try to see God everywhere, because you will not see him anywhere. That is the idea. Shall I think of him exactly as he is portrayed in pictures or images? Let the picture or image be merely an aid in bringing to your mind the living, conscious, unshining form of your chosen idea. It's an avalambana, we call it.
Yes.
Ashraya, we call it. Do you think God is like this?
No.
Yeah. Would you like to be like this? Let alone God?
No. It's beautiful descriptions are there in Levita Shastra.
Whatever it is, would you like to be there like that? Is in Lalita Sahasranam also these descriptions are given.
Yeah.
Her necklace itself is 300 kg weight. Would you like to go about moving with 300 kgs of whether it may be gold and diamond studded? Who wants, you know, sometimes this
crown.
The crown is so heavy, the Queen Elizabeth is squirming under it. So the moment the Sabha is over, And then the fellow comes and kicks it at a distance, that's what a relief it is. Even your own dress, office dress. The moment you come home, fortunately now that formality has become less. You can go with any this thing like that. One fellow comes there, almost every noon. He's free, you know, these shorts like that. So he jogs from the office and comes to the and prays for a few minutes and again jogs back to the office. He's very happy. You see him like that. Very nice fellow. So this is the freedom we have got now. You know, formerly, especially in Madras, already black fellows. Added to that, thick black, jet black, thick coat, black boots, black tie. In that sweltering heat, you can just imagine this fellow's condition. But there are some people, peculiar people, you know, what is the peculiarity? One fellow, tight shoes he wears from morning, so tight he feels whole day. And then he comes back and he throws them out. Somebody asked, why do you wear this kind of shoes? He said, you know, the relief I get when I come home is indescribable. To get that joy, this is the price I pay. There are people like, most people like that. If you extend that analogy, most people are like that. Anyway, what is the point? That we have to have this eternal companion. That's why I always recommend this book for the beginners. Very simple but very profound teachings. So we had this wonderful opportunity to discuss. So I did not go by the book only and said I have brought in so many things. And it's, I hope it is all very useful. It is so nice to meet all of you. So I am very happy to be with you. And I will be too happy tomorrow morning. No, even today itself. After some time, I hope you are also will be very happy. Yeah. Swami, Adishwandi joke, you know? I think you know, some of you know. Swami, Adishwandi, he closes his center for 2 months and goes to Thousand Island Park. New York Swami, very humorous Swami. So, once he announced this, there was one American lady. She had 5-6 years old son. So the son heard it and said, Mom, what's happening? Why does the Swami want declared holidays? He said, the mother was explaining, you know, the Swami is tired of seeing our faces, tired of grilling into our hearts the same thing. So he wants 2 months relief. And that was loud voice. He said, we are also tired of this Swami. We also want 2 months. So it works both ways. Anyway, may Thakur bless us all. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum पादपद्मे तयोश्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः।